evening, and welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study. I'm Sarah Jane Nixon. I'm the pastor at New Dublin Presbyterian Church, and we are graciously hosted in the sanctuary of Dublin United Methodist Church.
Yeah, and I'm excited to have you with us. My name is Don Hanshew. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is just a lot of fun to be together, to be in your home, and to be with Sarah Jane as we jump into God's Word.
Absolutely. Now, this evening we're going to be in the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament. And Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 51. So if you're following along with us, either with a physical Bible or with your app on your phone or your computer, go ahead if you want to and turn there. And meanwhile, will you pray for us?
Let's pray. God, we're just very thankful for the scripture that has stood the test of time that we have in front of us. These gospels, this good news about Jesus. Help us hear it, read it, understand it, and also apply what we learned tonight. Guide us in our study and in our relationship with those who are online with us so that we can give you the glory.
Amen. Now, this is a story that Jesus tells. Jesus tells stories a lot just to, as part of his teaching. And this story is about a man, a rich man, has got lots of servants, house, complicated estate. He goes on a long journey, and he puts a servant in charge of everything. But he doesn't come back when the kind of everybody thought he would. He's delayed. And so the servant who's in charge of everything starts acting like kind of a bad version of the master. And he's abusive to his fellow servants, and he spends money irresponsibly, and he eats and drinks too much, and is generally just irresponsible and doesn't do what he's supposed to do.
I mean, he's responsible for making sure they have food. The servants
absolutely
have their own, and apparently sloughs off on making sure that they have their basic
needs. They have food so that he can have too much. And then the master of the house comes back and is, of course, angry at this, and he says he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. So we've got this kind of a threat in the story, but also in kind of a spiritual threat as well.
It sounds more like this could be a jack-o'-lantern and this could be a Halloween kind of study instead of a Thanksgiving study. this whole cut people to pieces, that's terrible.
Cut people in pieces, yeah. So that's kind of the story, and I'll tell you what this reminds me of. It reminds me of when I was, I don't know, probably 11 or 12, and my brothers would be at track practice, and my parents would still be at work, and there would be instructions to, you know, clean the kitchen or do something like that, very reasonable instructions to clean the kitchen, you know. But what I would do is watch TV or something, because TV was very special in our household. We didn't watch it very often.
What show was it? Do you remember the show?
Oh, it was NCIS.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, NCIS. That's hilarious. Not and Tom and Jerry, but NCIS.
And then when I thought my parents were going to come home, or sometimes even when I heard the car in the gravel driveway, right, you turn off the TV real quick, and you run, go start like you've been washing dishes this whole time. That's what this story reminds me of.
That's great. The whole cutting to pieces thing is starting to make a connection for me. I get this now. I got it.
And I think this is something of a human response when, not only when there's just kind of a shiny object over here that we'd rather be doing than the kind of daily life of faithfulness to our family or to our job or to our God. It's real easy to get distracted. And it's really easy in a positive way, right? I liked NCIS. But it can also be really tempting when things are disruptive and scary. And I think no matter what your political views are during this season, we're all scared and we're all stressed out, worried about what the future's gonna hold. I will readily confess that I spent far too much time last week scrolling on my phone, and I know I wasn't the only one. because there were other people on their phones talking to me, right? So I think broadly speaking, we've had a time of great distraction, fueled in some senses by stress and by fear. And I don't want to understate that or not recognize the reality of that.
Yeah, it's like everything that's happened in our country right now. I mean, pandemic, strange elections. It's like all makes good theater, mm-hmm. doesn't really make good reality. So, right. Like, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying when you'd like to be able to kind of check out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when you compare that to how the scripture passage lays out, that's a really interesting comparison. It's saying don't check out,
don't
basically.
Check out. Right.
That's really interesting.
Martin Luther is, you know, the famous reformer of the church. He lived during stressful times, as to put it mildly. And one of the great pieces of wisdom that we have from him, he said, even if I were certain that the world was going to end tomorrow, I would plant my apple tree today. And what I think is so encouraging about this is, you know, the thing about apple trees is if you plant it today, it's not like you're going to have apples by this afternoon or by this evening. It's going to be years in advance. And Luther's saying, even if he knew that the world was ending, and of course he didn't know that, he just, you know, I'm sure was afraid of it, you know, we know that fear. He would still do the daily things that not only took care of his present and his family's present and his community's present, but looked to their future as well. That the fear and the anxiety that was so present during the Reformation and that is so present now, our response to that as Christians is not to give into it, but to continue to serve in faithful ways our community, our family, our God, and not give in to the kind of distraction that fear wants to put on us.
Yeah, and not giving in to that distraction, some of you are like, well, actually I did, or I have, and I have made maybe not wicked decisions, but I've made decisions that have separated me from God or from my family or from other things, and I'm not the person I wish I was. All this spare time, bored, stressed, has allowed me not just to scroll things about the election, but I've been on the internet and I looked at things that are not appropriate at all, period, in any other way. And you're like, hey, you know, is there a way back for me? What's my journey back? And yes, there is, and it's called confession. And, you know, in this story, in this parable, it's a reminder for us to be on our guard, on our watch. But if you felt like, you know, you relate more to the wicked servant, you haven't been good to those in your care, your own soul in your own care, you know, don't forget, there's always a way back. There's always a road to a good place, no matter where you are. And that road, as followers of Jesus, is always paved with confession. Taking time to say, I've done this, I admit this, God, can you forgive me? You may have more problems struggling with forgiving yourself because God is always quick to forgive you. But, so don't fear. It's like, regardless where you find yourself in the story, there is a way to a good place.
Absolutely. And I don't know what your version of an apple tree might be, but I hope that today you find one thing that you can do that is an investment in a faithful future with God and with the people around you. And maybe that's confession. Maybe that's apologizing to God and to other people. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. I don't know your life, but you do, and I hope you find at least one thing you can do as a promise for the future, even if you're afraid.
Yeah, that's a good word, Sarah. It's a good word.
You want to close us in prayer?
I'd be glad to. Look forward to seeing you next week. So glad to have you with us tonight, but let's pray together. God, help us be on our guard and assuming that every day needs to be lived in a way that honors you and not putting it off until we feel like you're just about to show up. But help us live each day in a way that honors you, that helps us love you and love our neighbor better. And in those moments or seasons in our life, and if we're waking up to that right now in these moments, where we realize we have wandered far from you, Lord, we just help us confess, help us to seek forgiveness so that our relationship with you and with others can be restored in a way that honors you and just gives you praise. Thank you for this time tonight, Lord. We just give you so much praise and thanks. Amen.
Amen. We look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you for joining us.